with Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
We are live, Sean. Did you know that?
Yes, I'm ready.
I literally just turned up the volume and I heard it coming in. I'm like, oh no, we're live.
I know. Well, life's changed a lot, you know, get real busy. I know you're busy. Saw your kids with the three triplets. I'm like, dude, is that real life now?
Yep. I tried taking a picture today recently, actually, before I came here. We've been staying at my parents' house so we can get some help. And I'm like, hey, I want to do a photo shoot. I want to put all three of the kids on me before they get too big and take pictures with all three.
Uh-huh.
And it was a nightmare. Well, Sadie Grace was so nice and sweet in my right arm, just hanging out there. Then they put Evelyn in the middle, and she's like pooping. I could just smell poop, and she's just sitting there like all stiff pooping. Then they bring Lily over, and they put Lily on the left of me, and she's just, wah, wah. She makes us like a little frown face now, like she's just being treated so bad. Wah. And I'm like, shoot the picture. I had Melinda. I had, who else? Monet, Skyler. It was like a full photo shoot, like four people shooting photos, but we couldn't get the photo.
Couldn't get it.
It was too hard with triplets.
Oh, just wait.
We're going to have to, maybe after we feed them, where they have that milk coma vibe, and then just put them together.
Snap a picture real quick.
I don't know. Who knows? We'll see what happens. The twins, though, that like the two identicals.
Yeah.
They're the ones that make all the noises, you know. They're always making noises. And Lily's just like the little, they call a little sweet Lily or sweet Sadie. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Good times. My dad's up there holding the kids. My mom, I mean, we got babies to pass around. So never a dull moment. So how you been?
I've been good. I've been busy. You know, I was, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about my own kids. And today we had our last couple games of baseball for the season. And my middle son, Jet, man, he's a psychopath sometimes. He's our most emotional kid. And so he can be really happy and stuff, but he can get really angry. So he got angry on the field a couple times. And I had to have like a sit-down moment, a council moment in the middle of the game. It was pretty crazy. And I was driving out of the game, and like the baby's screaming, Cohen's going crazy. My car was just bananas. For
crazy.
Like a while.
I know. Yeah. No one told me having kids was going to be crazy. I'm used to taking out my nieces, you know, and my nephew, and they're like little angels.
Yeah, they are. But then you dropped them off.
I know. No one told me that. It could just get crazy. So anyway, I'm stoked. We got Brian Head Welch coming in the studio next week. It's going to be sick.
Yep.
We actually just posted a video that he's not going to be able to make the Calvary Chapel Golden Springs Sunday night at Shine, but he will still be here in studio on Saturday night, and he does have that other event up in Bakersfield where he'll be speaking at another church on Sunday morning, I believe.
Yeah, that's the church that he went to first way back in the day when he first came to the Lord. I think his family goes there and stuff, so it's going to be like a homecoming reunion over there.
Dude, that's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of cool things going on, but we're going to actually have him in the studio, and we're going to talk about his journey back to Corn, because there's a lot of questions. People go, well, why is he going back to Corn, or why is he in Corn? And that's a great question, and it was such a great question that he decided to write a book
about it
that he just came out with. I haven't read it yet, but I've known him for the last 9 years. So basically, over the last 9 years, he's wrote this book. Basically, covers the nine last years since I met him.
Mm.
So it's going to talk about his journey. And what's interesting is, you know, we were talking about how, you know, it doesn't make sense maybe sometimes to people, like, why would he go back to the band that he left? And you start thinking about these different stories in the Bible where, well, why did God, obviously God spoke to Head and told him to go back, you know, that's going to be in the book, but you start thinking about, why did God tell Hosea to go marry a prostitute? Mm-hmm. So if Hosea is a prophet and then he told him to go become one with a prostitute. I mean, when you read the story, you know why. You know, he was used in that situation for his glory, for God's glory. But if Hosea was here today and he was in the church and he's like, dude, God told me to go marry a prostitute, the church would go crazy. What are you doing marrying a prostitute? And in the same way, that's what's going on with Head. People just don't know why.
Well,
but
well, I think it'll be good for him to be in here to be able to answer a question,
yeah,
you know, because he is a down-to-earth guy. And I think a lot of people have questions, and I think the people that have questions, I mean, that's cool.
It's awesome,
I mean,
yeah,
there's definitely things, you know, from the outside looking in, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. So let him speak in his own words and see if and see what he says.
Dude, it's going to be epic. I'm excited. Yep. I just think it's going to be one of the most amazing interviews.
So make sure you tune in.
Yeah, next week. Exactly.
It's going to be amazing. Guys, if you're tuning in right now, this is Live with Ryan Reese. This has been an amazing show for the last year and a half. We've been able to be a part of it. And maybe you're going to have questions. Me and Ryan are going to be kicking off talking about a bunch of subjects here tonight. And I'm sure that you're going to want to either comment or have questions, maybe things that are relatable to you throughout this show. And we're going to leave that open to you. The number is 888-564-6173. Again, the number is 888-564-6173. Or you can comment on any Ryan social media or contact us here. And also, you can always watch live at ryan-reese.com and watch us live here in the studio. But I know, Ryan, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in your heart, you know? You deal with so many people, friends and family, and then just people just in your out-about stuff. You skate all the time. You're connected with people in day-to-day life, and there's things stirring in your own heart right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
why don't you talk about it?
I don't know. I've been, you know, God's just been speaking to me lately, you know, actually the last 24 hours, that verse, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think it's so important that this is like one of the main commandments, you know, that Jesus left us with, is we got to keep our eyes on the Lord firstmost and make sure that he is the Lord of our life, mm-hmm, Jesus Christ, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And I think it's easy to get caught up and not love our neighbors as ourself, and get caught. Maybe we get caught up in the institution of the church, mm-hmm, and we kind of isolate ourselves from going out and reaching out to the culture, mm-hmm, you know, and going, you know, well, like Jude would say, I mean, I actually have the verse here, you know, it says, you know, but you dear friends must build each other up in the most holy faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring us eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. Mm. Very important. Safe in God's love. We have to do everything through love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment and showing mercy still to others. But do it with great caution, hating even the sins that contaminate their lives. Mm. And, you know, when you're going to reach people that are on the highway to hell or, say, in the flames of fire, you have to literally go to hell to get them and snatch them out. Like, you have to go to the gates of hell and pull them out. And I mean, just to speak on behalf of myself, you know, where I came from, it was a very dark place. Mm-hmm. And I know that these are the places where, you know, a lot of my friends that have become Christians in bands and you know, in the skate industry and, you know, different walks of life that mm-hmm. are places that are very anti-God. Mm-hmm. Atheism runs rampant and very pro-Satan's actually a celebrity in those worlds.
For sure.
He's like, you know, people are down with him big time. But we have to look at people that are friends and even if you're not, even if you don't come from that scene, we have to love those people. And it's so easy to just be like, oh my gosh, can you believe those people, what they're doing? And then you look at people that are actually going to reach those people and you start like looking at them and I can't believe they're there. And, you know, I've heard words like, why are these people at Slipknot Fest? Or why is this happening? Why is the whosoever's at this have a booth out there at this thing? And interesting enough, I came across two atheists that were actually at that event last week or a couple years ago. And they came up to me at a concert. I was at a random concert, and they're like, "Hey, are you Ryan Reese? You know, from the Hoosiers?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Hey, we got your DVD, and we watched all the stories, and it was really amazing. Like, we really love, just it impacted my life." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What DVD?" And they're like, "Well, the one with all the stories that you guys have." I go, "Where'd you get it?" They go, "Oh, Slipknot Fest." And I'm like, "Whoa, That is so crazy because you have these hardcore atheists that want nothing to do with God, but then here they are at this event, and here we are, and we're just there because we want to be that light in that dark place. And these people came across this DVD, and not only did they see it, they watched it, and it impacted their life. And they weren't walking with God at that point, but you know what they said to me? They go, "We love what you're doing, and we want to actually come out." After I told them, "Oh, dude, I do. I tell punk rock Jesus stories that shine. Like, we want to actually come out and check it out." And it's so easy to be on the outside judging, going, "Why are these people here?" But we have to love these people. And like it says in Jude, you have to go in and snatch them out and have grace and mercy and snatch them out of those fires. And it's messy. Jesus's ministry is messy. Mm-hmm. This world is in a dark place. I mean, I think about Jesus when he was hanging out with the woman at the well. And remember, he was hanging out with the Samaritan woman where the Jews did not talk to these people. There was beef between them. And not only that, the disciples came back and they saw Jesus hanging out with this woman. And they knew what was up with this woman. Mm-hmm. And they asked themselves, and it says in the gospel, what is Jesus doing with this woman? Not only is he hanging out with this woman, he is alone with this woman. There's no accountability going on. But Jesus went on a two-hour detour out of the way, on his way back to, he was either going to Galilee or Jerusalem. He was going either back or forth, but he went out of his way on a mission to reach this girl. And remember, he loved on her. She was tripping on, like, why you even talk to me? And that's pretty much another thing when a lot of people that don't believe in God, they look at Christians like, why are you coming talking to us? You don't like us. We're gay or we're atheists or whatever. They have this like misconception of how Christians look. And when Jesus says we got to do everything in love, and what did he do? He went out of his way. It was literally a detour out of his mission, and he went there to love on this girl, loved her to death pretty much, told him who he was, and a revival broke out in that Samaritan village. And that's just the culture that we live in right now, you guys. It's so dark. We were talking about earlier, Sean, and we you just read that article that in TimeMagazine.com or Time.com, which is Time Magazine, there's this article of this guy that's running for Senate right here in California, and it says he's an atheist, and on top of that, he's a Satanist. He's part of this satanic temple here in the area.
Yeah, they say his name's Steve Hill. I can make that known because his article's written about him.
Yeah.
Steve Hill, he is running for some Senate seat in California, former Marine, and he's just a full-on atheist is what he is. And what he is saying is that he identifies with the teachings of Satanism. And a lot of the teaching of Satanism is self-driven. It's secular humanist. That's the kind of philosophy that's really infiltrated our school system in a lot of ways.
That is the Anton LaVey, because there's different sects of Satanism. Mm-hmm. That's the, they call it like the LaVey doctrine or whatever, something like that.
Yeah, because in his estimate, he doesn't believe in God, and he would make mocking of the things of God. And that is a... his motivation for getting into politics in a lot of ways too. So the kind of agenda that he thinks is best, you know, would be better for the society if we didn't believe in God and stuff like that. And this is a prevalent in our culture. What you were talking about right now, which I do believe is very important as well, is that I've always told my wife this. I don't want to raise my kids saying it's us against the world, because that's not really what it is. You and I, both of us, come from a background of living in the world and not walking with God for most of our life and then coming to the Lord. And along the way, we had some Christians in our life that were legit. Like, we could be like, no, they're legit. They're cool people. And then you have those other people that kind of play church, and you make your own kind of judgment on them. But I think it's so very important to realize that, like, God places us in people's lives, and a lot of people that are listening right now, like in workplaces, just in your day in and day out life, your neighbors, like, God places you there. I think it's so very important you don't shy away from having communication with them, because that's what the Lord has called us to do. I know, Ryan, like, your motivation of even starting Shine on those nights was inspired by a particular verse. And and shine itself speaks of shining in a dark place. And the world is a dark place, and we are called to be light. We are to be an influence. And what you will see when you put yourself out there, when there's communication with old friends, because friends that we grew up with, I don't cut them off. I never felt led to cut them off. I mean, I separated myself for a moment because I was getting away from the drugs and alcohol scene. I'm not going to the bars or anything.
Separating from the party.
Yeah, I'm separating from the yeah. party life. But I still would go out to lunch with them. You know, I keep in contact with them. Don't text their way. And, you know, over the years, I've had so many of those guys call me in the middle of the night, drunk, hammered, high on cocaine and stuff, and tripping. This one of our friends in particular called me up and wanted to confess his sins to me. And I'm like, dude, I'm not a priest. Like, what are you tripping? But they're having these spiritual struggles.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, one thing we talked about just a little bit ago is, like, the demonic influence that's in our culture. It is. It's major. So often we talk to friends or people that we know or people that I've met with at the church that have dealt with situations where they're being held down in bed and there's like this demonic oppression that they're facing. And a lot of times they think they're the only one, so they don't say anything about it. Then you go on finding out, man, there's so many people that battle this stuff. We're living in very dark times. And I know that your heart, Ryan, has always been to preach the gospel, to reach out to those that are confused like we were for so many years. And I think it's very important for the church itself and for us as believers not to lose scope of that.
Yeah, we got to really figure out how we are going to reach the world. You know, I think we got to figure out what ways can we do outreach. And not only does it have to be literally like an event, but outreach is, we're disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God sends us out to be disciples or activists is the new word mm-hmm. I like, activists. And an activist, when you look it up, it basically means for you're fighting for like a social change mm-hmm. or you want to, where well, we are, we're mm-hmm. looking for a world change. Mm-hmm. So as we're out there, we could love on people and be sly as a serpent, gentle as a dove is another verse that God's mm-hmm. really been speaking to me about when I minister to, because you could show up and talk to people and literally just come out of the gate and, you know, they could be talking about craziness and like, oh, well, hey, brother, you know, I don't talk about that no more. You got to be sly as a serpent, gentle as a dove. You just need to chill out, hang out, relax, and wait for the time for the Holy Spirit says to speak. But if you're going to go out and you're going to go and try and reach the world, you're going to be in the world mm-hmm. and you're going to hear the things of the world and you're going to see the things of the world and you're going to feel the things of the world. But you're not going to be of the world.
One thing
you're not going to be contaminated by it.
For sure. You know, one thing that's heavy on my heart, too, is the way that you do it, the matter of your heart. That's key.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes with every aspect, especially with things that are so prevalent in our culture today. There's a lot of major issues. There's a lot of social issues. A lot of people have opinions from various views. To communicate with people on your belief, a biblical standpoint, you need to do it with the right heart.
Mm-hmm.
I share this a lot of times when I've taught apologetics, is that even Peter says it, that when you give a defense, you do it with gentleness and meekness and humility.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you can have the right answer, but you can do it with the wrong attitude. Sometimes believers, man, they're just waiting for somebody to say something stupid, and then they just want to make them look dumb. And they have the right answer, but their really goal is to make them look stupid. It's not that communication and building a relationship and showing that they actually care for that person. Yeah. And to me, that's key. That's how you're really going to win over somebody.
And the thing is everyone, the reality is everyone has their own point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Now, us as believers, we've had encounter with the Holy Spirit. So mm-hmm. there's confirmation from the Holy Ghost and God speaking to us. So we know, we're like, okay, we figured it out as far as like, we know what the Jesus is, the God. Of, you know, he is the King of Kings. There's no other God. So when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go out and meet with other people, there's so many different philosophies of the world. So like you said, you have to do it with love, and you have to hear everyone's opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't mean your way is the right way when you're having conversations with your friends. And, I mean, like, you can't. Because even if you're just coming off like, well, you know, that's cool, you know, but this is what the Bible says. They don't.
Right.
Who cares about the Bible? I mean, let me rephrase that. To them, they're saying, who cares about the Bible? Because if they don't believe in it, just like if someone talks to them about the Quran or the Book of Mormon or, you know, Jehovah's Witness or whatever it is, I'm like, but that's their opinion because they're studying that. So through love, having these conversations, and you know what? It might be just going out and hanging out and not even talking about God at all. Maybe just hanging out with them and letting your light shine and letting people know that you love them and you're there. You're going to win it through love. And then there will be a day when conversations will come up or they'll start talking to you or whatever it is. And then you could interweave the scripture, slides a serpent, gentles a dove through love, and those things are going to happen. But so often, you know, I believe that believers can get, like, we know the right way, we're going to go out, we got to let everyone know, and we're going to beat people over the head with it, and that's it. And we're not going to hear it. But we have to, it's a two-way, a relationship is a two-way street. You talk, they talk, and you just kind of navigate through it. And I mean, it was cool. I was up in LA last night, actually. I got to see some of my old friends. And I've been doing my rounds going to LA and just seeing different people and hanging out in different places. But, you know, it was cool. You know, I was hanging out with a lot of my friends. And you know, my friends know where I've come from. They, I don't have to say anything to them. They already know that I love Jesus. And, but I'm not beating any of them over the head with anything. But it was cool because we were hanging out at a house and you know, the TV came on and it was like the Obama thing talking about transgender, this and that. And I'm like, dude, are you guys kidding me right now? Like, can you believe this whole transgender thing? And these guys aren't believers. You know, they might be believing God. I don't know. But, you know, whatever. They're looking and they're like, this is like insane. Can you believe that we're actually talking about having like transgender bathrooms right now? And then like one girl was like, you know, one of our friends there was like, well, what's wrong with, you know, don't you think the transgenders can have their own bathroom? And now remember, like, she has her belief. I have my belief.
Right.
And I was like, well, look at, what do you think about this? Like, so say the transgenders, they went through and they had their operation and say they had a bathroom. It was just for these particular people. I'm like, all right, whatever. But let's think about the reality, you guys. Do you think that these transgender bathrooms are only going to be for transgender? We know it's not. You know why? Because recently at Target, an article just came out after they passed their law that you could have the transgenders. They found a guy, not a transgender, a guy dressed up as a girl in the bathroom taking pictures of girls. Mm. So all this is, in the reality, is this is an open door for perverts to go in. I go, my wife is not going in and going to the bathroom with any dude that's dressed like a girl. That's a dude.
Right.
And my daughters, definitely, it's the same, wife or daughters or whatever. My nieces, no one. This is not going to happen. So then I looked at her and I go, do you want to go to the bathroom with some dude that's dressed up as a girl? She's like, heck no. I'm like, exactly. You know, and you just, you know, you have all these things in society.
Right.
And it's like Satan has this blindfold and he makes it sound like it's a really good idea. Like, yeah, guys, that's a great idea. The transgender is like a 1%, if that. That's a bad idea. Now, we have this other guy running for state. Okay, he's an atheist. Okay, whatever. But on top of it, he's a Satanist. I don't know about you guys, but the last time I heard about a Satanist, you don't really want to be affiliated with that stuff.
Right. And this is what people are seeing. And this is what's so amazing, because you can take this opportunity to have communication with people. And as we're going to be talking about this stuff throughout this night, maybe you have questions. Maybe you're struggling with this, how to communicate with people without getting angry. Because sometimes people get angry, man, and then you just lose that relationship. Maybe you're struggling in different areas of your walk with the Lord, or maybe you don't know the Lord and you have questions for us. You can call in tonight at 888-564-6173. Again, the number is 888-564-6173.
Yeah, it was I'm just still laughing at that whole conversation. It's crazy how...
Well, I mean, look at our society. I mean, I was tripping on the transgender thing yesterday too. When I saw that thing come out, I'm just like, are you serious right now? Like, and then I started looking into like, well, what's the definition of transgender?
Did you have it?
I have it, but it's long. So let me overview it a little bit. So I'm like, okay, so let me just get to the nuts and bolts of this thing. And then I read a little bit, and then I was more confused by the end of reading it because it covered all the stuff. Well, a transgender could be a transsexual that says they can be a cross-dresser. Some might be bisexual. Some might be heterosexual. Some might be this and that. And before you know it, it just covers this wide spectrum. Like, how are you ever going to designate, okay, that is what a transgender is? And like, you to back up what you were just saying right now, it just opens up this door to so much confusion. And I was teaching last night and I said this, what's taking place in our world today is that the world is taking away our definitions of things. Isn't it pretty trippy that we have to decide what is a man or what is a woman? I think that like that's very basic kind of talk. And what's taking place in society today, it's confusion. When I mean that they're removing our definitions, you know, the Webster's Dictionary. You look it up, you find something, and then it gives you a fact of what it is. But nowadays, they're taking away facts, you know, where there's no absolute truth. And it becomes this, everything's relative. And from every other aspect of truth and stuff in colleges, now even to sexuality, as far as a man and a woman. What I also think is very dangerous about this, Ray, is this. For these young people that are struggling with these feelings that they might have, they're like, well, I wasn't meant to be a man or I wasn't meant to be a girl. And because I don't feel this way, and the society is saying, well, if you don't like the way you feel, you don't like the way you look, then change it. That's so contrast to what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. See, the Bible says that God doesn't make mistakes and he knows everything about you. He knows the numbers of hair on your head. And
it says you're a masterpiece
as
well.
You're a masterpiece. And with that being said, it will bring in horrible self-esteem for a person. I don't like the way it feels. So I got to change it. And then they change themselves and they see they're still empty. There's actually already reports and surveys that are taking place that people that actually go through some of these transitions go into major depression. Suicide rates go up. Drug addiction goes up. Why? Because they're trying to find peace and a sexual identity and changing things that they were never meant to change. And there's confusion. That's why our culture's confused.
Yeah, no, it's very, very confusing. I mean, I see phone calls coming in. I want to give the number out again because we want to talk a little bit more about this stuff. 888-564-6173. Hey, Golden, how much more time do we have before break? 2 minutes? Okay, so check this out. So I was looking around online, you know, because I was at a high school and this high school kid was telling me about pansexuals.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that means you...
Or down for whatever.
Whatever.
Right.
Like you're not gay, you're not transgender, you're just whatever's clever, whatever works. You can fall in love with whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So I get online, I start looking through YouTube to see what pansexual is, and it had these two girls that they're girls, but they look like boys, and they're from the UK, but they're dating. So I don't know if they're pansexual or if they're transgender. I think they might have been transgender. I'm just confused by the
way. You're making me more confused.
But at the end of the day, I'm looking, and what it was two girls that looked like dudes that didn't have operations, and they were dating, and they called themselves transgender or something.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're lesbians.
Right.
Like, what? Like, everything is just so stinking confusing.
And everything's going so quick. All of these big laws being passed, and then it's like, when I saw that thing yesterday, I'm like, these decisions seem so quick, and they seem so emotional. They're not based on truth. Why are they getting so, like, moved by, it's 3%. It's not even 1% of the population. It's crazy. And there's so much confusion. It is going to impact our society. We're just seeing it right now.
Are we really focusing on bathrooms? Is that the biggest problem in the world?
Exactly. Exactly. There has to be a press statement for it.
Guys, the Obama, he's doing it. We're bathrooms for transgenders. That's it. That's our problem in the United States. We need more bathrooms for transgenders.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What does the world come to?
And when it really comes down to it comes to a hard issue. You know, it's not even the... We're going to talk about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
On the other side of the break, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Peace.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Everything all right?
Sure.
Call now, 1-888-564-6173. Or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say what I warn you.
Loud noises!
Well, right before the break, we were just talking about Obama. I'm going to give it up to Obama right now. He's saving the United States by making transgender bathrooms. Thank you, Obama.
Yeah, there's so many other things that could use your assistance, but I guess that's the focus right now.
I mean, come on, this guy. So, yeah, I mean, I was up in L.A. this weekend, and, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we know that the light is coming to the world. Jesus is coming to the world. And as you take the darkness and you bring it into the light, it exposes the darkness. And, you know, I was hanging out with some people up in L.A. last night. You know, I was doing my rounds or whatever. And I just came into this interesting conversation where, you know, I was just kind of led. We were just talking about conspiracy theories and, you know, CERN. And, well, CERN's not a conspiracy theory. That's actually,
right.
You could go Google that. That's its own website. But we were just talking about, basically, we were talking about this stuff, and what I was alluding to is the supernatural in Ephesians 6, you know, the spirit realm, but how CERN's, you know, trying to open, like, portholes or black holes to other dimensions, and, like, they're trying to see what the dark matter is about, and they're looking at the God particle. And I was just talking, like, saying, isn't it interesting how scientists, they use science to prove that God doesn't exist. That's what they're trying to do, a lot of these atheists. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is now with CERN, they are using science to find the God particle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that just don't make no sense, right?
No.
So as this conversation went on, and they didn't think it made sense either, and as this conversation went on, you know, we started kind of talking about UFOs, started talking about, you know, supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. And what was going on is I just felt led by the spirit to talk about, you know, the encounter when I had those demons show up in my room. Mm-hmm. When, you know, I took 15 hits of ecstasy and a bunch of cocaine, and, you know, that opened the doorway to the supernatural realm. And I had these demons in my room jumping around in my room, and one was holding me down, when in the world they call that sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. In the mainstream, but what it is, it's demonic. And when I said that, the whole room was kind of like, huh, you know, like it got kind of like weird for a second. Everyone started looking at each other. And then what was going on, interesting enough, and I was the only believer in Jesus Christ there. And the whole room, basically, everyone started having stories of being held down and having these visitations by these black figures. But then there was this one girl that was in the room, and, you know, she basically just straight up said, hey, I literally the other night woke up and there was a demon holding me down trying to have sex with me. Mm. And she says, this stuff's been happening since I've been young. And she was into, you know, she obviously was into some dark stuff. But as those conversations went on, some other guys were talking about how they had these LSD experiences, or they were on LSD, and these demons were like chasing them down with like no faces, chasing them down, trying to get them to commit suicide. And it's like all of a sudden, like out of like eight people in the room, seven of the people are having these encounters with the supernatural. Mm. So, you know, I know what the Bible says, and I've been involved with this stuff. So I just kind of, you know, I'm not going to like preach at people and beat people over the head with it. But I basically was just saying, dude, there's power in the name of God.
Right.
And his name is Jesus Christ. And I said, you guys don't have to be involved with this stuff. You know, you got to, you know, and I said, you know, I started talking about, you know, a little bit about Jesus. And they're like, one girl's like, wait, are you religious? And I'm like, no, I'm not religious, actually. She's like, no, but do you go to, I believe in Jesus. I read the Bible and I believe in Jesus. You know, religion's like man-made. And she's like, do you go to church? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, every Sunday? I'm like, yeah, I do. And they were like tripping, like, no way. Like, this guy doesn't look like a Christian. I don't know what Christians look like, but she was tripping out. And I was like, yeah, I go to church. And then that just kind of led into talking more about, you know, these supernatural entities and mm-hmm. stuff. You know, it's demonic and the ghosts and these UFOs and all this stuff.
Well, look at our culture again on that level, because demonic evil, I mean, it's so prevalent in so many movies, even the commercials sometimes, music has so much stuff. And then when people actually battle with that stuff, to me, and I've dealt with, me and you have both dealt with people that have been oppressed by the enemy, by Satan, some demon possessed. We've dealt with these things over the years. Both of us have dealt with encounters before walking with God of demonic influence. And to me, it reminds me that there is evil.
Absolutely.
There is evil, and there is such thing as good as well. Mm-hmm. And the good is the Lord. And that's why you were able to give that, you'd be able to have that open door there.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And I was just shocked that I'm in a room of 8 people and like 7 people are talking about these and their houses are haunted and this whole this stuff. So I was like, hey, well, I got to go, but I'm going to be back next weekend and we're going to talk. I love talking about this stuff. They're like, come back. Yeah. So it's awesome. But here, we have a, I'm going to go ahead and take this call.
Let me give out the number again, too, as you do that. If you're calling in and maybe some of the stuff that we're talking about is kind of hitting home, we'll like to be taking your calls the rest of the show. 888-564-6173. Again, the number is 888-564-6173. Go for it.
We're going to go ahead and take Maria from Long Beach. How you doing, Maria?
Finding yourself.
Doing good. Thank you for your call.
I'm calling about because my son has had demonic oppression on his life where they're provoking him, wanting him to commit suicide, like saying, throw yourself, just kill yourself, it's not going to hurt. And then he sees like a lot of them that look like little kids, but they look evil. And then if he's in a room, there's like 20 of them, but he's always been a Christian and he's always been attacked by them where like they want to kill him or destroy him. And I've experienced that myself too as a child. So what would you say to that?
Well, this story is very common. The story is the same with these people that are get involved with this stuff. I heard that same story last night, is that this guy was saying that these demons were chasing him and they looked like they were small, like kids. And they were saying the light would turn red and they would say, go in front of the car, jump in front of the car. They were trying to commit suicide. Demons want to destroy lives. That's their whole purpose. But Mike, I got a question for you. How did the oppression stuff leave you?
With me, it started as a child. Like I could remember just being scared all the time. And they would always, it was like this nightmare. Like the devil would always chase me. And then like the lights were always dark and I could never go to sleep, and I would feel like my heart would just want to burst out of my chest. And and he would get me so tired, like where if I was driving, like one time I hit another car because I would never get any rest or sleep. Like he would just want to like destroy me, like get me tired where I wouldn't be able to like control myself.
When you started walking with God, did you pray and did they leave or are they still oppressing you guys?
I've always been a Christian since a kid, but he would always not want me to pray because every time like I will pray more, like I will feel that I will be more scared and it'll try to attack me more to keep me from praying. And then like God always warned me too about like never watching scary movies because you open the realm. And I remember like one time I watched the movie and something threw me from the sofa, like pushed it or like something like cracking in the walls and like the ceiling, like it'll do stuff like that. And I knew that God has shown me like not to watch anything like scary movies and stuff like that. But I prayed and I know that when I just have to trust God and not listen to it and be like, no, he greater is he that lives inside of me than the one that's in the world. Lord, I accept your peace. And that's what I would like, feel at peace.
Absolutely. But, now, this is the thing. That was another thing that one of the girls said last night, that she gets thrown around in her bed, pulled out of her bed. I mean, this is common. I was talking to my mom and she had stories people have met with her, the same kind of situation. Girl would wake up with, like, scratches on her back. She was involved in meth. This is what you do. We know the scriptures clearly say, resist the devil and he will flee. And whoever the Son of God sets free is free indeed. The light extinguishes the darkness. But the main thing that I've realized, And, you know, the Jesus even says it. You gotta clean your home out. You know, you got to keep it clean. You need to do inventory on your life and in the things that you're watching, the things that you're listening to, the things that you allow in your home. We know, I love that scripture. It says, for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. You need to make that house the house of the Lord. Get oil, anoint every single wall of that house and pray. And there's no certain prayer, but I personally anoint my house a lot because I deal with a lot of different people that are messing with demonic stuff. And I say, in the name of Jesus, open the gates of heaven and pour out your spirit in my house and push out any darkness. Mm. And this is the house of the Lord. And then I go to the next room. Every single one, I anoint my baby girls. I anoint my wife. I anoint myself. We pray for each other and we cover ourselves. And we just keep praying it out constantly to make sure nothing can come. And I mean, you got to understand, when you're people around you are into there's people around you, if they're into hardcore porn, that could open demonic doors. So they could be carrying this stuff with them, or drugs, or whatever they're into. They're opening doorways, the spirit realm, which Ephesians talks about. They're attaching themselves to this demonic realm. So that's why it's so important. Go through, get rid of any of that, of those scary movies, any music you're listening to, your son, what's he watching? What's he looking at? What's he listening to? You got to literally do inventory and get rid of any of that stuff and pray that God will shut those doors in the name of Jesus. And you resist the devil and he will flee. The scriptures say that if he does not flee, then the Bible is not right.
Yeah.
It's not true.
And I would just back, I would also just back that up as well. Everything Ryan said is definitely on point. I would say that, you know, it's a season. Even when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it says that at the end, Satan left until he came for an opportune time. And we go through these heavy seasons. We have seen this was when people are walking with the Lord and they go through a form of oppression where the enemy is just bringing chaos maybe into the home a little bit. Like Ryan said, you pray. You pray. We live with spiritual warfare all around us. And as the end draws near in this society, look at the world today. The oppression, the enemy is going to attack even more in many realms. And that what Ryan was basically saying right now, we need to be serious in our prayer. We need to be serious in our devotion to the Lord and not to play games and do inventory in our homes and all those kind of things, because that will be our strength.
I got an interesting story for you that just happened to me and my wife last week. We were literally in our house, we're in the bed sleeping. And we literally woke up exactly at the same time, and we were both having a demonic dream.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
We both woke up at the same time, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I just had the gnarliest demonic dream. And she is like, oh, my gosh, me too. Mm. Why? Because the enemy is roaming the world looking to see who can devour. He knows he can't get to me when I'm awake, so he'll come in and mess with me. But it's not all the time. And what do? We prayed instantly. We said, in the name of Jesus, cover us with the blood that was shed on the cross. We know that you defeated Satan, and we know that stronger is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But for whatever reason, you know, the enemy gets access sometimes to mess with us, and sometimes we give him access through things that are in our life, you know?
For sure.
These doorways,
mm-hmm.
you know, this music and this stuff. So I would just suggest that you just meet up with your son, anoint him with oil, pray for the whole house. And read the scriptures at night, and there's power in the name of Jesus. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Is that cool?
Can I ask you one more thing about that? Do you think that God uses that in a positive way to show you that there is evil, and look, there's demons trying to destroy you, but here I am, I'm God, I'm good, and I want to save you? Does he use it in that way as well to show us that evil is real? Because, you know, like a lot of people don't believe that there's a God or there's a devil.
Yeah, totally.
Do you think that's why?
Well, I would say this. I mean, we do know that for children of God, we have examples in the Bible of Job that God allowed the enemy to come and disrupt his life. And God was working out a purpose. I understand what you're saying right now, too, as well. Because I do think that when you realize that there is such thing as evil, because sometimes people try to dismiss the existence of God by saying, well, if God is so powerful, then why doesn't he wipe out all this bad stuff, this evil stuff? There's rape, there's murder, there's all of these things. Why, if God is so powerful, can't he just stop those things? And the reality of, and by them saying it, like God doesn't exist, that's not true. Because by you recognizing that there's such thing as evil, you're recognizing that there's such thing as good. So I do agree with you. I think that that is a way to see distinction between good and evil. The enemy is evil and God is good. And I would say yes.
I just don't. Thank you for calling, Maria.
Thank you.
I just don't think it's a good idea that Satan terrorizes people, because then people know he exists. And it's so much easier.
Right.
Like for me to go to someone and say, okay, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard. Dude, I got demons coming in my room, this and that. I'm like, okay, awesome. So you know that there's the devil, right?
Right.
Okay, so here, this is Jesus. Right. He can help you overcome this stuff. I met with a girl that showed up at Shine last week, and she was a stripper. And while she's got into stripping, she said she'd be on stage and she felt like something overcame over her and was controlling her body.
Yeah.
So she goes to her friend. Her friend brings her to church to Shine. She tells me the story and I'm like, okay, so do you want to be set free now that you know there's evil, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, let me tell you about Jesus. Boom. She accepted the Lord right on the spot. We prayed. Holy Ghost came upon her. Boom. She's smiling with joy. I see her the next week. I'm, how are you doing? She's like, amazing. Mm-hmm. I go, any more demonic activity? She's like, nope.
And,
done.
And that's what the enemy can work too. Depression, oppression, possession. Can bring depression in a person. Like, not all. There's medical depression that's out there, but there is where the enemy is bringing this grind sometimes in a home. Mm-hmm. You see it, that's spiritual warfare.
I experienced it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we were talking about that, right? Kind of going through a tough season.
I was getting fear all of a sudden. I was like, why am I having fear of speaking?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And those are things that we battle with. And the only way to overcome them is, dude, worship, prayer, the word. It's always the same
fasting.
Stuff.
Yeah, fasting.
Fasting. Cleansing myself. Seeing like, Lord, I need you in my life above all else. And that's the key. That's the victory that will come in our lives.
Yep, that's it. Then let's give out the number again.
Number is 888-564-6173. Again, the number is 888-564-6173.
We're going to go ahead and grab this call from Adrian in Huntington Beach, California.
What's up, Adrian?
How you guys doing?
Doing good.
You know, I got a question regarding marijuana use. Now, I know in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus turned water into wine. So, you know, it gives that that validation that alcohol is acceptable in some sort of tolerance. Mm-hmm. But what's the view for marijuana, you know, medicinal use, recreational use? And then kind of to tie into what you guys were talking about, entities, demonic possessions, I've also seen YouTube videos where certain religions, they feel that drugs are a gateway for demonic possessions. What can you guys say about that?
Yeah. You said drugs are a gateway to demonic oppression. Is that what you said?
Demonic possessions.
Yes. I would definitely agree with that. You know, we've talked about this before. When you go to the New Testament, we see that sorcery was a word that is where in the Greek, the word is pharmacia. Which is a pharmacy is where we got our word pharmacy from. And it's talking about potions that they would make. And it was things that would bring kind of like that euphoria, kind of like a drug. That's what it was. It was a drug.
Well, dude, in Egypt, they used to get the Nile lily, mm-hmm. and they would crush it up and they can make DMT out of it.
Right. And so sorcery, yes, it does open up this gateway for sure. We both come from backgrounds of drug and alcohol abuse. And I'll tell you what, we've seen so many things for many years of drugs and alcohol where the enemy can just do a huge, you know, horrible numbers on people's lives.
Well, I know this kid that was actually 16 years old. He hasn't met with me yet, but literally his friend's been contacting me because he's a major, major stoner, mm-hmm. and he battles with anxiety, and he's having these demons like harassing him.
Right.
And he's not messing with anything else. I said, is he messing with like witchcraft or anything? And he just said, no, he's just a stoner. And for whatever reason, you know, Satan gets in one way or another, but I would not mess with that. We know the Bible talks about being sober-minded.
Right.
You know, be sober-minded. What does it say? Be sober because your enemy, Satan, roams around the world like a roaring lion looking to whom he devours.
Yeah.
Be sober. And I used to smoke weed, wake and bake all day long.
Right.
You you're not clear. You know, no. You're not clear-headed. You're foggy, and you're under the influence.
And, you know, and just so coming on your question a little bit, I mean, in our society today, this has been a major thing.
Yeah.
You know, smoking weed medically. There's medical clinics all over the place. It's a racket, tell you the truth. You know, there's a lot of people that are out there. I know people that used to sell dope and drugs, and now all of a sudden they're running clinics, you know. My buddy was does about a bunch of sound system stuff and lighting and stuff at these concerts a couple of years ago. He's at a Cypress Hill concert, and he said that it was so crazy. Like, they had this place where people were roped off. People that had medical marijuana cards had the ability to smoke weed, and it's a racket. You know, what I would say, and people would argue that's like, well, you know, there's prescription pills and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and for, you know, pain kill stuff and everything like that. But I truly believe that all the drugs and stuff like that, weed, all that kind of stuff, is still connected to the sorcery, pharmakia stuff that we find written in the Bible, that the Bible that tells us not to go down that road. You're opening up a gateway, whether society tells you or not.
Prescription drugs are dangerous as well.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, cool, man. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling, Artie.
Yeah, appreciate that.
All right, brother, Adrian. Man. Take care, man.
Take it easy.
Yeah, you guys have a nice
day. Oh, Artie. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for all these calls. We're going to try to get as many to them as we can. Again, the number is 888-564-6173. You know, me and Ryan just wanted to talk about all of these different things that are taking place in our world today in society, because we know that you struggle with them, struggle with maybe giving answers, and you see things continue getting darker and darker, and you want to be able to give answers to friends and family.
I don't know. I think I picked Artie up again or something. Oh, there we go. We dropped this call. We have a few minutes left, Sean. We're going to have to take all these calls after the break. Let's go ahead and... I got to talk about something really
quick.
Go
for it.
So last week, if you're listening, you guys, and you guys are on hold, we're going to take your guys' calls right after this little break here. But so last week, I got to go meet with a principal of a Catholic school. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, you told me.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me what happened after.
I'll just tell the listening audience. We went out there, and you know, we've been doing these high school Kill the Noise tours, and we've been hitting all the public schools. But then as we started realizing, there's a lot of kids that aren't necessarily Christians that go to Christian schools.
Correct.
And to Catholic schools and private schools and just whatever. So we're like, you know what, let's open it up a little bit more and hit these, we'll hit some Christian schools and we'll hit some Catholic schools and we'll hit whoever, mm-hmm. however, whosoever. And we went to go meet with the principal, and we, you know, we talked to him. We said, hey, this is our message. We preach Jesus Christ out on the cross. And after that, we want to inspire the kids to be great, mm-hmm. not to get caught up in the distractions of the world. So he was stoked on it, and he was just like, man, he's like, you know, if you guys get in, if everything works out and you guys get into our school, we're linked with three other schools. But on top of that, that will open up the door for 51 more 51 more Catholic high schools, 51 more schools. So we're like, all right, perfect. Plus our public schools and the Christian schools, this next year coming around is going to be insane.
So with that, man, keep the whosoever's in prayer. Go to the whosoever's.com. Get up to speed with everything that's taking place. You're able to follow them on all the social media. They got all the apparel there. All the apparel there goes straight back into the movement. The Kill the Noise Tour, Ryan's been able to go to many high school campuses, and he's talking right now. This is the vision. This is the vision, going out to the youth, going out to the old. It doesn't matter who it is, whatever door God opens. I know these guys want to go through it full power, but we want you guys to be a part of it. You can pray, obviously pray for the whosoever's for doors to be open. If you want to donate to the cause, you can donate to the cause. Make it so simple, so easy right there on the website. Anything else you want to add to that, Ray?
Yeah, well, we're trying to... buy a sound system, and when they donate, it actually funds our sound system, so we are able to go to the high schools without having to rent one for $5,000 every time.
Yeah.
We literally have it. We get gas money, and we go down there. So, yeah, you could give, or you could buy product that actually helps fund the high school tours as well. So any way you want to do it, that would be awesome. Just email us at info@thewhosoevers.com. And I don't know, it's going to be epic. Keep us in prayer, more importantly, because we want the Holy Ghost to show up. We're praying for revival. Join us in praying. join us in fasting. You know, if you can't fast a whole meal or a whole day, fast a meal or two or just one meal. But keep us in prayer. That's what you can do from wherever you're at, young and old. I mean, we got a lot of gnarly prayer warriors that are on our crew, older ladies, and they're praying for us, and we love it. That's amazing.
And it should motivate you. When you look at the stuff on the news, when you look at the stuff in your social media and stuff, and you're overwhelmed, dude, pray. Pray for God to bring you these individuals that you can have conversations with. Pray for people like the whosoevers to get open doors to go in so they can meet with these people that are dealing with these major issues. And you are a part of that battle when you're praying and uniting together, locking arms. And we are in a battle. And as long as we're praying together, we're proclaiming the truth to this generation, God can do great things.
Absolutely. All right. Well, next week. That's a wrap.
Next week, what? Who's going
to
be
there? Oh, next week, Brian Head Welch talking about his journey back to corn. Tune in. We love you guys.
Peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared To podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared To is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.